somebody reading for us? Your children will answer because they abandoned the covenant. Deuteronomy 29:29. Secret things belong to the Lord our God. Thank you very much. Yeah, that is KJV. Now, in Message, it says, God, our God, will take care of the hidden things, but the revealed things are our business. It is up to us and our children to what? Attend to all the terms in this revelation. So we see from this passage that one of the methods of operations of God is the use of terms to things, whether to revelation, terms to covenant. There are terms. When you say terms, you are talking about conditions, you are talking about rules. Are we ready with the slides? Okay. So just give me slide one. Just only slide one. And we start. So, one of the methods of operations of God include the giving and setting of terms and condition. Is the institutions of terms and conditions. That is, you will find that one in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, where God gave them conditions. I want you to enjoy this garden. But for you to enjoy this garden for a very long period of time, you have to follow the following what? Terms and conditions. And who can remind me of the terms and conditions God gave them? Who can remind me the terms and conditions God gave Adam as touching the fruit of the tree, as touching the Garden of Eden? Yeah, thank you. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, it is not now that the issue of terms and conditions comes into things of God. Because God wants you to enjoy his provision for a long time, and he does not want that provision to be abused. So God usually puts terms and conditions around his covenant. He puts terms and conditions around his promises. If you obey the voice of the Lord, all this blessing will follow you. Do you understand? Are we on the same page on that? You don't have a problem with that. Now, let's go to this slide one. Now, let's go to slide two. Slide two. Now the question is, why do we have rules? Why do we have rules? That's a question you will ask me. Why does God put terms and conditions? What is number one? Is that you are not giving? I said, just wait. Don't click what I've not asked you to click. You are showing us what is courtship. What courtship is? And you, and then you stop it. Praise the Lord. He said he's flowing on his own. Okay. Maybe you should come and use my phone. Which slide are we now? Now, the question is, why do we have rules? Well, give us, why do we have rules? Why do we have rules? Come and use my phone. Come and use my phone. Come. Give them my phone. Project it from my phone. Praise the Lord. Little. Okay. Let them go work from here. See, take, give them. Praise the Lord. Now the question is, why do we have rules? Any enterprise that does not have rules will run into crisis. Any enterprise that does not have rules will run into what? We run into crisis. So you need rules to manage the things of God. We need rules to manage the provisions of God. Now, in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, Amos 3:3 is a very popular scripture. What does it say? Now, when there are no clear court rules, nothing works. You can't work with anything. You can't work with anybody. You can't work successfully when there are no rules. When there are no clear court rules, nothing works without rules and terms. Nothing works without rules and terms. Now, before we go into, I want us to look at what courtship is. But before we look at what courtship is, I want us to look at what courtship is not. Praise the Lord. There's the story of a particular man who got a job in one of the banks in the United States as a teller or a cashier. So the man was going to go through training, and one of the training is how to identify and recognize original currency notes. So because as a teller, one of the things you need to do is you must be able to know that, oh, this thing does not look original. This is not original dollar. This is not original pounds. You must know it. You must detect. So they took them for training. And on the first day of training, the trainer came and said, well, you have come here to come and learn how to know original currency. But we are going to start by teaching you how to know fake currency. Because once you know fake, you have no problem. You will know original. Is that okay? And that's a very good way to start. So let us know what courtship is not. Number one, courtship is not marriage. So slow down. Courtship is not what? It's not marriage. That you are courting does not mean you are married. That you are courting does not mean you are married. So, slow down. Help me tell your neighbor, slow down. Now, one of the mistakes we make, particularly ladies, they take courtship as marriage. And they do things in courtship that ought to have waited till marriage. They put too much on yourself. At the face of courtship. See, don't do anything. Don't do any investment. Don't give anything out to any man in such a way that if the curse breaks, you'll be broken. Don't do it. If your curse breaks and you are broken, then you have given too much. See, I hear. If your curse breaks, you are not supposed to break. But we know some people that commit suicide through broken curse, through of us. It means they took curse for marriage. They took curse for marriage. They took curse for marriage. So what is number one thing that curse is not? Courtship is not marriage. One of the things that is not in courtship, one of the things that courtship only gives you is it gives you a pledge to be married. I'm still coming there. But it is not yet marriage. And people break pledges. Have you not said I pledge to Nigeria, my country? To be faithful, loyal, honest. Are all Nigerians, are we honest? Are there consequences? No. Praise the Lord. So, don't begin to do and act as if you are married. That is for somebody. Do you get him now? So, the number one thing you need to know that courtship is not. A man will make certain demands on you in courtship as if you are married. You must learn how to say, I am not yet Mrs. Okeusi. I am not yet Mrs. Fadokwin. So you must learn how to say no. You must learn how not to do too much. I'm not saying don't do, but don't invest anything in such a way that if that courtship breaks, your life is broken. I've seen people whose life become broken because courtship got broken. See, I hear. So, if you will break, if your courtship breaks, then you are doing too much and you are giving too much. Number two, that courtship is not. Courtship is not dating. What is number one thing that courtship is not? What is number two? We're going to do a program that I call Dating is Dangerous. Now, what is the difference between courtship and dating? Now, dating looks like courtship, but they are not the same thing. Now, in dating, there is no pledge of marriage. It's like two people going together. In fact, there is no proposal in dating. True or false? Because me, I'm old school. Let me know what is in vogue now. Now, when you are dating somebody, there is no commitment. But in courtship, commitment is the beginning first. You must know the difference too. Because the guy might think you are dating and you think you are in courtship. The guy will just think we are dating. You see, when people are dating, there is no commitment. A guy can be dating 3-4 people at the same time. Dating is to sample whether I can propose to this person. But courtship starts with proposing that I want to marry you, then you start courtship. You must understand the difference between the two. So that a guy will not take you for a ride. And a lady will not take you for a ride. The lady will say, but we are just dating. Dating? You call all this investment of this past 1 year, 2 years dating? Yes. The guy will say, have I proposed? You mean all those lovely tests, all those lovely things you are sending to me? Did I commit myself? Praise the Lord. So, you must understand that dating is a relationship between opposite sex to know if they can start courting. Let me put it that way. That's the best way I can explain it. Do you get it now? Why courtship? See, Matthew 11, verse 18. I'd like somebody to read Matthew 11, 18. Matthew 11, 18. Matthew 11, 18. Yeah? Sorry, Matthew chapter 1, sorry. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. Yeah, the birth of Jesus took place like this. The mother Mary was engaged to be married. If you read it in Amplified, it says the mother Mary was promised to be married. To be married. So in courtship, there is a promise of marriage. We are still coming there. So look at the one you are going, you are in presently. That is if you are in anyone. Is there a promise of marriage there? If there is no promise of marriage, you are dating. You are not in courtship. You are not courting. Are you getting it now? Hey, Masoro. Are you getting it now? Now, the number three thing courtship is not, is that courtship is not a change factory. So don't burn yourself out. Courtship is not what? A change. A factory where you just change people overnight. A converter. Some lady will say, don't worry, I will convert him. Some guy will say, don't worry, I will convert her. It's not everything. It's not everybody or every man or every lady that will be changed in courtship period. So you must know what you are entering. Some of you just enter thinking the man will change. The man will not change. The lady will change. The lady will not change. In fact, one of the reasons why some people are no longer talking about marriage, they are cutting, you know, but they are hesitant to talk about getting married. It's because they have not seen the kind of lady the picture in their mind. The lady has not evolved. The guy has not evolved. Could he change it to their picture? The lady is not looking like Kim Kardashian. The guy is not looking like Will Smith yet. So you are taught that courtship will midwife a Kim Kardashian for you. That, okay, am I worried? By the time I finish with that guy, under 3 months, the guy will become Will Smith. And the guy is just becoming himself the more. The guy is not changing. The lady is not changing. Then you are frustrated with courtship. And when we say, let us marry, you say, we are not getting married. We are not getting married. This is not what I bargained for. She said, I'm a bargainer for life. Do you get it now? So courtship will not solve all problems. Courtship will not change everything. It's rather an influence factory where you influence one another. It is not a converter. It is only God that can change person. Can change a person. It's only God. It is only the Holy Spirit. You are not a converter. I'm a converter. I become God to convert. Praise the Lord. So that is what you need to know on what courtship is not. So let us quickly go at what courtship is, then we look at the rules and we close. Now, what courtship is now? Number one, courtship is a period when an intending couple develop what? Intimacy. Number two, understanding before getting married. And I put in bracket, this intimacy excludes what? Sexual intimacy. Because there are different kinds of intimacy. There is sexual intimacy. There is social intimacy. There is intellectual intimacy. So what you do in courtship is that it's a period of time that you develop what? Intimacy and understanding. And this intimacy excludes sexual intimacy. See, I hear. Now, number two, it's a period to work out what? Compatibility. And this compatibility excludes sexual compatibility. Because there are different compatibilities. Somebody asked me a question some time ago. He said, Pastor, you said that we should work out compatibility, where husband and wife must be compatible. He said, what of if we are not sexually compatible? I said, I don't understand that. In this church, a brother, spiritual brother. He said, how do we work out sexual compatibility? I said, that one you cannot work it out until you get married. Praise the Lord. That one, there is no way to sample sexual compatibility. But every other compatibility, you can work it out. Social compatibility, intellectual compatibility, spiritual compatibility, you can work it out. And compatibility is worked out. It's not just there that we are made for each other in heaven. Not lie. You work it out. If some people are married to Jesus physically here, they would mama. If Jesus, you come as a man with mustache and I want be a gang to join one. Now you are married to Jesus. You will still fight Jesus in the house to show that you work out compatibility. It's not just there. It's not just that everything will just be rosy because we got married in church. We did white wedding. Who told you why wedding is white? There is a white wedding. Praise the Lord. It's only in Nigeria that we call it white wedding. Even in the U.S., they don't call it white wedding. Praise the Lord. So, what is the number three? And number three is that courtship is a period to raise what? Red flag on piece of. Courtship is a period to go to court. That's why it's called courtship. Now, courtship, anything you permit, anything you did not talk about, anything you did not complain about in courtship, you are not permitted to raise your voice when you are married. So you keep, let such keep quiet, speak now, or forever hereafter, hold his peace. Anything you permit in courtship, you will see in marriage, and you must not complain. It will persist. Do you get me now? So, period of courtship, no matter how short or long it is for you to develop intimacy, to try to know each other. You can't know everything about a man. Even me, I'm still getting to know my wife after 16 years. Do you get it now? So that's 1 year, 2 years, 6 months may not be enough to know everything. But at least, comfortably, you will know some things. You will know something that you will know a lot. You will know fairly enough. Do you get it now? You will know fairly enough. If you are sincere with yourself, no man can hide. If you are intimate, you can't hide for too long. Do you get me now? You can't hide. Some people got married and they start discovering secrets. I said, did you cut at all? He said, we cut it. You didn't cut. You didn't open your eyes. Because there's something. Most of the time, the problem is that love has covered your face. You did not see. There is no problem people go through in marriage that God would not have shown you the red signal when you are courting, but most of the time we ignore it. The Lord will not allow you to see. Do you get it now? So, and when you see peace off, we call it peace off, something that did not resonate with your personality. All of us, we have unwritten rules. Some of these things that did not align with you, that did not align with your own way of life, you raise red flag, then you talk about it. You don't keep quiet. A particular lady woke up to lead pastor and said she was backing out of a relationship. Why? He said the guy is a yes man. And what I ask people who are close to me that are courting, and they said they want to get married, I ask them, have you had your first fight? If you say, we have had one, did you say to it? Yes. What's the pass? But this lady said, anything she did, this guy is okay. He said, I will deliberately hurt the brother. The brother will just smile. It's okay. He said, I will do stupid things. Stupid things. This guy will not reek. Ah, there is fire on the mountain. There is what? Fire on the mountain. He said, I will do stupid things. I will raise my voice against him. This brother will just smile. It's okay. You know, because I love you. He said, she told lie. She was somewhere, deliberately, she was somewhere. She said, the guy, okay, next time, just tell me, I just want to know the truth all the time. Ah. I said, what kind of man is this one? Everything is yes. It's a yes man. You are in trouble if you marry that kind of a man. Because you will not get better as a lady. The purpose of coming together, developing intimacy, sharpen one another, we are going to see now. But if it's the guy or the lady is a yeah, because the lady has been Osimamobo, so why this one is consolation of Israel. Anything the guy did, even when you are seeing the guy double dating, you still did not talk. Well, he's an African man. Ah! The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So, please, ensure. And I said, use what? Praise the Lord. Use what? Use option A. Now, so that your rate of turnover of brother or sister will not be high, you must learn how to use this option. Because really, there's nobody you contract relationship with that you will not see something you did not like. Okay? So if at every piece of you back out, you may never be married. If at every piece of you break relationship, you back out as a lady or you back out as a man, you will never be married. Even if you marry Jesus. In fact, Mary and Joseph were best of singles in their days. All of a sudden, Joseph just discovered pregnancy. It's like a piece of something that he did not. You are what? With the Holy Spirit. And they handled it perfectly well. Do you get me now? So the number one thing to piece off are things you didn't like. And this piece of, you must categorize them into fundamental piece of and non-fundamental piece of. What did I call it? Fundamental piece of and non-fundamental piece of. For instance, his English is not good. To me, is non-fundamental. That one can be worked upon. He does not know how to dress. That one can be worked upon. Are you getting me now? So there are some that to me and to any serious-minded believer, you must know that you won't get 100% of your desire. We call it spec. I know my spec. Usually you don't get all your spec in a lady. Usually you don't get all your spec in a man. But what is left that is not inside your spec must be things that are non-fundamental that you can wear. Okay. Do you get me now? So, but things that are fundamental, like he lies, is a fundamental issue. He raw. If he say good morning, he lets you shoe. Or he cannot stand, we are going to see, part of the rule of courtship, rule of exclusivity. We are going to see. It's part of the rule. That the guy is usually distracted. You know, we have some guys that are distracted. Once they start a relationship now, in the next 2 months, they are distracted. Another sister starts coming around. And they start getting distracted. To me, it's a fundamental issue. Don't go ahead. Don't say, oh, my change. Ah! Can you change? Are you getting me now? So, fundamental. So, the first A is when you see something you don't like. Number one is to address. The number one A there is what? Number one A there is what? That is, talk about it. Oh, boy. Ibu e terrible. We need to do something about it, too. Do you get it now? So how can I help you in this regard? Or you don't know how to match color in appearance. You are like Wilberforce in The Flatmates that wears color. I mean, if you watch The Flatmates, you watch Flatmates, so you know Wilberforce. Is what you can wear yellow trouser. Men don't wear yellow trouser. There are two colors of trouser that does not fit on men. Red and yellow. This guy wears pink trouser. Pink. Oh, my, half yellow. I have can't go, I can't go cap here, I believe. So we have guys like that. That's when you can work upon it. Or if you don't like it, number one thing you do is that you talk about it. So that number one hey starts for what? Now, number two hey is you yourself adjust. Do you get it now? So there are some times that the person that should change is us, not the person we are trying to change. So the second hey is that what am I doing that is making this person behave like this? Let me also adjust. Let me also talk to myself. Are you getting me now? What is number three hey? Number three hey is adapt. Now you will ask the question. Now you have addressed the problem. Now you are also trying to adjust, but that thing is not the change. You are not seeing the changes that you desire. The next thing you need to do is try to adapt. Now, if you cannot adapt, you go to the last A. What is the last A? Avoid. What is number one here? What is number two here? What is it? Number three? What is the last one? Avoid. That means you back out. Jackpa. Thank you. Jackpa. I can't cope. But before you get to Jackpa, you must follow through. You must follow through the first A. Have you talked about it? Because even in marriage, there will be issues that will require you to communicate and talk and address. Inside marriage, you cannot jackpot again. That last A is not there inside marriage. It is the last A inside marriage is adapt, not avoid. But inside courtship, you can still avoid. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the rules now. Now let's look at the goals. The next slide, the goals of courtship. Now, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, everything he says, if you read it in this translation, those are the things that your courtship you produce in your life. If you read, somebody can help me open to 2 Timothy 3, 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 in translations. So, your courtship should produce what? Intimacy and what? And what? Are you writing it down? I will give you the slide for 1,200. I will give you for 1,200. I will sell it 1,200. I'm saying you should put my name there so that I can sell it to them. 1,200. Now, what's the first thing you should produce? Intimacy and compatibility. What is number three? Showing the truth. Now, if you are cutting and you are not saying, showing each other the truth, you are in a failed courtship. If the only thing you do is that you go to Ventura and watch film, that's the only thing you do, you are in trouble. Because your courtship, inside your courtship, you must show one another what? The truth. You must develop intimacy and compatibility. You must correct mistakes. Don't gloss over it. Don't smile over it. Don't say it does not matter. Now, when you are now married, you are now complaining. Have you not seen ladies who now complain on what they allow, what they smile over, why they were cutting? You caught the guy the first time lying or cheating. Oh, no, I'm just playing. It's a mistake. You smile over it. The second time, the third time, the fourth time. Or the guy slap you the first time, slap you the second time while cutting, slap you the third time. After slapping, he will come and beg you. And you will smile. It's not because I love you. You are in trouble. So, you correct mistake, you strengthen one another, you plan, then you equip one another for the task ahead. So that means we must have discussed about vision and purpose and all those things. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the golden rules as we begin to round off. So I'll just talk about the remaining. Now, this one that I want to tell you is not in the slide. Rule number one. Grand rule number one. This one you should write it down. I call it when you are climbing floor, you start from ground zero. You don't start from the first floor. So we want to look at the rules from ground zero. So rule number one, that is rule zero, ground rule zero, is the rule of time. Somebody say time. Rule of time and maturity. The rule of time and maturity. Can we read Songs of Solomon? Save Our Soul, SOS, chapter 8, verse 4. I'd like you to project it. SOS, SOS, whoever is, can you help me read it? SOS, chapter 8, verse 4. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 4, Message Bible Translation. You have Message? Okay. Oh, let me warn you, sisters in Jerusalem, don't excite love, don't stir it up until the time is right, until the time is ripe and you are ready. That is the number one or grand zero. That is the number one rule of courtship. The rule of what? Time and readiness. Time and readiness. It means that for your courtship not to be a failed courtship, the timing of starting must be right. Then you must be ready. Now, somebody once asked me, Pastor, what time or at what age should a lady or a guy go into relationship that will eventually lead to marriage? There is no straight answer. Hello? There is no what? There is no straight answer, because it depends on two things. Number one, it depends on time. That is calendar time, chronological time, age. Of course, you can't start. He says, do not stir up love. Go back to that scripture. Go back to that scripture. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 4, Message Bible Translation. Songs of Solomon 8, 4. Songs of Solomon, thank you. Message. So leave it. He said, oh, let me warn you, sisters. It's always sisters. God will have mercy on you, sisters. Because you are on the receiving end. When courtship breaks, Eileman break you. Because you have given everything. You have given 50% of your married life while you are courting the guy. Give your body, give your money, give your time. Say no to other guys. So when relationship breaks, you got broken the more. So that's why God is saying, it happens to brothers who, they have used their money to send sister to school. Somebody sent a message on Facebook. He said, you pay school fees, somebody pay dowry. Now we invest past. You are the one, you pay school fees of the sister. 100 level, 200 level, 300 level, 400 level, 500 level. You gave the sister money for youth service. The sister now came back from youth service. Another man now pay dowry. Now who invested more? And you are not the one that now pay dowry. Another guy now pay dowry. You pay school fees. God will have mercy on me. So, he said, rule, this is rule zero. That is where it starts. Don't excite love. Don't stir it up until, so two things he says here, time and readiness. They are not the same thing. Time is talking about not being a baby, not being a teenager, not being in SS2, not being in SS3, not being 100 level, not writing post-jam, and you are introducing who to marry to your parents, you are in trouble. Because the time is not just right. Do you get me now? Now, the other aspect is talking about maturity, readiness. That is maturity. Because you can be 40 and still not be ready. You didn't get me. You can be 38 and still not ready. So in age, you are okay. But in readiness, you are not ready. The readiness talks about maturity, talks about emotional maturity, talks about spiritual maturity, talks about financial maturity, talks about social maturity. So the two must work together. So I don't usually give a straight answer. Somebody can be 22, a lady, and be in age, she's okay. Maturity, she's mature. Already taking care of herself, taking care of her sister, taking care of her parents, know what life is all about, can manage money, can manage home, can manage a man, already making money, sending herself to school, doing business at 22, 23. And you can see a guy at 31, 32, 33, and he still say, Daddy, I beg, give me chop money, I beg, I want to buy bread at 40, at 38. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, but the two must work together. So, the number one rule is the rule of time and what? And maturity. A colleague of mine just this Friday was discussing an issue with me about his foster daughter. He was the one that brought up the child, that girl, from age zero. The parents, you know, were deceased before she was born. Particularly the father. So then the mother just abandoned. So my colleague took over the child from the mother and was raising the lady. And the lady now grown up. And the lady now brought a man. And said, Daddy, this is the guy I want to marry. So that my colleague now said, okay. Now you want to marry my daughter? I said, yes. Do you love her? Yes. I love her. So that my friend now said to the guy, okay, for me to know that you are serious, I will give you 4 weeks to bring your people to me. Since that time, they have been looking for the guy. Since that time, they said, go and bring your people. Is there harm in go and bring your people? So what does he suggest to you? Excuse me, let's talk. What does he suggest to you? Talk to me now. A joker. Uh-huh. Yes, any other contribution? The guy just disappear. Not ready. Do you get it? Hey! I will not start paying hospital bill, I will not start taking care of my wife to be family member, somebody will not be telling me when to come home, somebody will not be phoning me if I will not lose my freedom, the guy japa. Praise the Lord. So that is number one. Now let's now go to rule number one. We have done rule zero. So this one will be the number two. It's also the rule of purpose. Now, the rule of purpose and time frame. Now, I like also read this particular one in New Living Translation. It talks about time. It talks about purpose. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos 3:3. Who is reading for us? A New Living Translation, if you have it. On direction. So, the number two rule is what? The rule of direction or the rule of purpose. Now, there are three questions that a good courtship must answer. How many questions? He must provide answers to three questions. Number one, the question of what are we? Now, when you are going out with somebody, that courtship must have direction and purpose. When you are going out with somebody, it must have what? It must have what? It must have direction And what? And purpose. It must be defined. Don't go into any close relationship with opposite sex that is not defined. It must be defined. Apart from the rule number one that talks about being ready, it must be defined. So that courtship must answer the first question. What's the first question? What are we? Now, when you are going out with somebody and there is a problem of introduction, when the person you are courting meets people who are very important to him, how does he introduce? Don't take it for granted, though. Mommy, meet Brochel. Brochel will be thinking, my future partner. My classmate. Hey! You are in trouble. Meet Brochel. Our choir director. And you'd not be fighting where you leave your parents' house. Why do you say, are you not my choir director? Am I not more than that to you? Honestly, I don't know you are more than that. You are just choir director. Are you getting something? See, any courtship that will be okay must be properly defined. And the question number one it must answer is the question of what? Who are we? Both of you must know it. People around you must know it. You should not have problem introducing one another. Correct, properly. Mommy, meet Sister Bimpe. My fiancé. Fantastic. But say, Mommy, meet Sister Bimpe. Usher in our church. Praise the Lord. Do you get it now? That the question of who are we has not been answered. Because that particular introduction does not satisfy both parties. It has not defined who you are. Oh my God. So to the most important people, to the guy or to the lady, so how do you now introduce each other? If the introduction does not connect, then you have a problem. So it must be defined. So it must answer number one, what? Who are we? Number two, it must answer this question. Is this relationship going to end in marriage? It must answer it. It must answer it. I've seen people into relationship who they have not even, courtship, the purpose of courtship is that relationship will end in marriage. It must be clear from beginning. Have you not seen guys who say, did I promise to marry you? Have you not heard it before? You have not heard. Guys who say, excuse me, you are closing up too much on me. Why are you saying I should bring my parents? You are saying I should, when are we getting married? Did I promise you marriage? After 4 years. And it's true. They never spoke about marriage from the beginning. So number one question that a courtship must answer is who are we? Number two is that when are we getting married? If the guy ran away, thank God, it was never yours. It was never yours. You must talk about it. And the third one is when are we getting married? The time. Is it heading in marriage? That's number two. Number three is when are we getting married? Are you getting it? So let's move fast. Rule two, which is rule number three. Let's go. Let's move on. The rule of what? What's this rule? See, destiny has been destroyed because of no clear rules around appointments and meetings. Pastor, which one is this one? Help me read Amos 3:3 in Amplified. Amos 3:3 in Amplified. And somebody also to help me read 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel 13. We are going to be reading 3 verses, 7, 9, and 10. Okay? Fantastic. What did he say there? Can two people work together except they did what? Now, you must set rules around your appointments. Do what? Please, sisters, help us. Help brothers. Brothers are erratic. A brother can call you at 9 p.m. and say, can I come and see you now? He has gone. Brain is japa. A brother can come to sister house anytime. Pastor Martins, please, let's put our hands together for one of our my coach, Pastor Martins. Please come forward now. Come and sit down. A guy can call you at any time. I say, I'm coming right away. You say, you have a headache. You have a headache. Please, can I come? Are you a doctor? You are not a doctor. So you must set rules around. Can you see? Do two people work together except they make what? Appointments. So one of the rules, you must have clear rules around what? How and when you will meet inside your courtship. Don't leave it to chance. Particularly if the sister is living alone and the brother is staying alone. If the sister is staying with her parents, I trust our parents. My phone control. They will tell you that when you come at all time, they will show you that you came at all time. Do you get it now? If the guy is staying with his parents, they will give you control. You cannot even go at all times. But it becomes more dangerous when you are going out dating or when you are in a courtship and both of you are staying alone. 3-bedroom flat, the guy is all alone. 3-room self-contained, the lady is staying alone. Right from day one that you said, okay, I do. You said yes. You must clearly define your appointment and meeting times. See, I hear. Now, the story of Amnon and Tamar. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Can you go give me verse 7? 2 Samuel chapter 13. Give me verse 7. 2 Samuel 13. Now, how many of you have read this story before? You know this story. Let me see you. If you know it, so that I will not belabor you. You know the story. What happened in that story? Prophet me. What happened? And Tamar. Okay.
Fought against to our younger sister. So a friend of his now came around and advised him that, why are you disturbed? Tell your dad that you want her to prepare food for you. So that's how he planned and he actually... Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, the first thing, this is the secret of guys. They deceived. David, their father, was deceived. So for Tamar to be raped, Tamar was sent to the brother's house. People get raped in brother's house. Hello? Ladies don't get raped in their own house. They get raped in the brother's house. This is number one in verse 7. Then David sent home and told Tamar, go now to your brother Amnon's house. Number one, go and prepare food. These are the things you should not do. These are the things they did to arrange for Tamar. They destroyed Tamar. Number one, Tamar went to the brother's house at odd hours. Number two, Tamar was sent to go and prepare food. Now, go to verse 9. Go to verse 9. Go to verse 9. It's a very important thing. Appointment is a very vital rule. Look at this one. She took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, send everyone out from me. So everyone went out when Tamar came. See, don't stay in lonely or deserted place with a brother. Say you are having prayer meeting. You are having a meeting. Go to verse 10. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here into where? Hey! And Tamar too brought food inside bedroom. Rules of appointment were disregarded. So set rules, sisters. You are the one that will insist. You are the chief whip of every rule. See, guys can set rules, but their mind, we don't think much. We react. We don't think. So even if the guys make rules, you are the chief whip. Hello. Okay. All right, we're bottom him. Are you there? Are you there? Am I making sense? Brothers cannot enforce any rule, even if it's a pastor. Forget it. You said you won't come to my house later anytime after 6 p.m. Did I say that? Yeah, you said it. We agree. Okay. Don't worry. This is just past six. Give me five. There is fire on the mountain. So, set good rules. Then have safe places where you can meet. Safe places like church, open places, camps, open places. That is where you should meet. Particularly if you are staying alone. Don't let the sister come for your own good. And sisters, if you are staying alone, don't let the brother come. Please. If you are staying alone, it's dangerous. And if you must come, regulate it. Bechi Asita, open all the windows and open door. Open window. Open mosquito nets. Let mosquito enter. Let him know it's not safe. Do you get me now? See, for sin to happen, two things must be in place. There must be intent to sin. There must be opportunity to sin. The two must not jam. It's difficult as we are talking now. Even if you have intention of raping a sister in church, you can't do it now. Do you get me now? You can't. You can't, because the opportunity is not there, even though the intent is there. Do you get it now? So don't create that opportunity. Next is the rule of communication. You must set rules on what to talk about. Talking about what to talk about, let me ask us, what are the things you should talk about? What are the things you think you should talk about? Oh yeah, let's contribute. What are the things you should talk about? What are the things you think communication, what you should talk about? Thank you.
Praise God. I think we should discuss genotype.
I told you sometimes ago, don't ask a guy who did you sleep first in your life. What is your business with that? Who slept with you first? What is your business with that? Are you getting me now? Did you abort? There are more important things to talk about. You must set rules on what to talk about. There must be no go area on what to talk about. The more you get closer and your relationship is getting nearer, then you can open up on some areas. Of course, you should not keep secrets. But certain things that doesn't have any effect on your relationship, on your eventual marriage, you keep it. Somebody asks a question and says, hey, Pastor, we have done introduction. We are going to get married in, I think about about a month's time. So the lady was now feeling guilty. The lady did like 3 or 4 abortions in the past. So the lady now said, I feel guilty. I want to tell him that I've done 4 abortions. Guess what the pastor said? He said, you are a fool. When you are doing those abortions, did they tell you you have lost your womb? There are some past that was in your past. Do you get me now? That was in the past. Except there are medical confirmed reason, manifestations, medical diagnosis as a result of your past that could impact on your marriage. Then you tell the guy prayerfully. If it's yours, it will stay. You have a question? That you did abortion. Forget about it now. That you will get it. Anything that is your past is your past. Forget about it. Let him go. Let him get angry. If he's a correct guy, he will not even listen to whatever they say outside. He's a correct guy. If the guy now pick up fights with you, that guy is not correct. He's not a correct guy. Eh? He's not. What did he say? Hey, he does not have sense now. The guy does not have sense. It's past. What's important is that the guy knows that you didn't get born again from the womb. Do you get me now? But to now begin to say, in fact, I did it for two guys in my 200 level. I did another one for you are not wise. As a lady, you are not wise. You are not wise. What is important is that, oh boy, I led a rough life before I met Christ. That suffices. If the guy now say, I want to know how rough it is. That guy is not a serious guy. How rough it is? Oh boy, very rough. Fill in the gap yourself. That is how you answer. You must learn how to talk. And it is not day one of your courtship that you start saying all those nonsense. But if there are medical reasons, if there are things that will impact in the future, if there are secrets, serious one, of like you have a child, those one can't be kept secret. You have to tell him. Or the guy has to tell her. Do you get me now? So you must know what to talk about. Talk about your plan, talk about your pop, talk about genotype, talk about blood group. If you have any health challenge, I'm asthmatic, talk about it. Talk about your purpose, your plan, talk about your vision. And don't talk too much. Don't talk too much. Don't talk nonsense. Don't be too angry. Don't abuse. Good communication. Praise the Lord. The next one. The rule of touch. Number four. The rule of what? And physical intimacy. This one, you must set rules around it. Brother Femi, come. Now, look at me. I think I've made an analogy. I even used you that day. I didn't know. This is when I was using the analogy, it was him I used as an analogy. Now, if you are dating a guy and he comes to your house, put your hand like this. Now, and I did like this. I'm the husband to be. She's the wife. We are not girl. So if I start this way and I hold your hand and the lady did not talk, the lady, she's also feeling it. Now, the next time they meet, the guy will not start from this hand because the guy has passed that level. The guy will move up and do like this. So the lady too smile. Oh, but all that day. And the lady did not react any strange way. The guy has passed this level. The next time they meet, the guy will not start from here. The guy will not start from here. The guy will go here and do like this. And if he does like this and you do not talk, the guy has passed. I can one, I can two, I can three. So the guy will move to the chest. And if he begins to put hand, You did not talk. The next time, even if you did not sin, the next time you meet, the guy will not start from the hand. A correct guy, you know he has passed this one. Do you get me now? You must set clear boundary. The guy will not start from here. He has passed. The holding of hand will not do him again. He doesn't get sexually satisfied by holding your hand. He has done that. You did not talk. He move up. He move up. He move up. He remove one button the next time. It until you, both of you will sleep together. Do you get me now? Go and sit down. Praise the Lord. So you must set clear boundary. Of course, is it bad to hold hand? It's not bad. Is it bad to hug? It's not bad on special days. Maybe graduation. Matriculation. got a job, you know. But if it goes beyond that, you are creating problem. If it goes beyond holding of hands, that's the only, because they have asked me, what is the acceptable level of physical intimacy? I said, you can hold hand. But don't squeeze hand. You don't understand? There are differences between the two. When you begin to massage hand, there is difference between hand holding and hand massaging. You are not flowing with me. So you are doing like if you are Holy Spirit. Now, once it goes beyond that, just mere holding on hands and hugging that is less than 2 seconds. If the hugging is beyond 2 seconds, come. If the hugging and the hugging will be side hugging and not this hugging. If it is this hugging, maybe the sister is bereaved. Do you get it now? Bereaved. It is well. If it is where, it is where, it is where. The 15 minutes, it is where, it is where. Praise the Lord. So what is important now? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God gave instructions about the eating of the apple. Now, in Genesis, thank you, but out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing, go back to KJV. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt what? Now, God didn't say they should not touch. Abi? But what was the instruction? We should not eat. Now, go to verse, chapter 3, verse 3. Now, when the devil now came to interrogate Eve, Eve gave a different version of what God said. And that is the rule of man. This don't touch. Somebody will say it's not in the Bible. I agree with you. The limit is not there. All this I'm saying is in the scripture, indirectly. Look at what Eve said. Now, Eve was now trying to quote what God said. Now, Eve put his own interpretation there, something that will help them to fulfill God's law. God says, don't eat. If you are going to eat, you have to touch. But God did not say, don't touch. Are you flowing with me? This one will blow your mind. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it. That is correct. Neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say that. But it was good that she said, God said we should not touch it. Because for you to eat, you must touch. So you must put rules around touching. If you want to make a success of your courtship, see her here. So that is why I did not blame deeper life. In deeper life, you don't go to your house when you are courting. You come to church. I was in school one day. A lady and a guy were in a relationship in deeper life. And we used long benches in fellowship. I didn't know they were talking. One was at one extreme end. Another one was on this extreme end. Me, I came to do morning devotion. I sat in the middle. I didn't know they were talking. I said, my goodness. And I mean long bench. The sister was on this end. The brother was on this other end. And they were talking before I came in. So I just came in. I saw two people. And there was space in between. And I sat down to do my... As I was praying, I was hearing, okay, when are we going to see next? That was when I knew I was interrupting something. And that was the instruction they gave them. Meet in public places. Meet in church. We used to abuse them. Now we know better. We used to abuse them. That they don't have Spirit of God. They are too mechanical. God, where is it in the Bible? It's there in the Bible. Eve said, God said. So when God was saying don't eat, God didn't say specifically don't touch. But Eve understood that for me not to eat, I must not go there at night. I must not go to go and see a brother at 5 a.m. just coming from bed. And the brother is staying alone in a room. I mean, do you get what I'm trying to say? So, rule, grand rule, is the rule of touch and physical. You must set rules, clear boundaries. Certain part of your body must be a no-go area. There are acceptable limits of touch. I'm not saying don't touch, but know where to touch. And if you know that you cannot handle touch, cuckoo, don't touch at all. Hug sisters only when the sister is doing convocation. Quote me. Pastor Gayus, he said, we should only hug when we are celebrating. Hug if the sister is bereaved. But acceptable, brush your shoe, got me. Acceptable, hold hand, side hug. When you must meet, meet in public places. If you must go to the house, you can go to the house of a sister that she is not living alone. Living with sisters, living with people. That one, you don't have much problem. Sister, oh, you cannot come and visit my daughter. I am in the house. And both of you lock yourself in the room. Koleshele. Have you not seen that modern day father, Christian who have sense, they even ask their daughter, go and bring your friend. I want to see your friend. Let them come and I want to see your friend. Oh yeah, sit down. Let's talk. The father will befriend the friend of his daughter. That is how to do it. Don't meet anybody in the secret. Bring your brother here in our sitting room. I will leave sitting room for you. We will be in the balcony. You must set rules of what? Touch. The next one, we just have two more, then we'll close. The next one, rules of third party and conflict. Now, you must see, one of the signs of healthy courtship is conflict. In fact, any union that is healthy, there will be conflict. Somebody said, Pastor, but there is a bishop that says, we have never had a single quarrel since we got married. We've been married for close to 40 years. That is covenant sense. It is wisdom. We've never had a single quarrel. It has never happened and it will never happen. See, I hear. That is covenant sense. One of my friends called me. He went to do Wolfbee at Canaan Land. Only we are in trouble. You don't even have but yeah, don't say a bishop tells lie. Bishop cannot tell lie. He said where he was doing Wolfbee was across the office of bishop. So from where he was doing lecture, Wolfbee is their Bible school. So he now saw from afar, just like if you are looking at senior pastor's office and you are here, you know you'll be seeing people coming out. He now saw mommy, Reverend Mrs. Faith, dash out of daddy's office and went to stand by the car and was like this. You know, and when ladies or sister or your wife is doing like this, he's not trying to raise his soul go. He's not trying to, you know, that something must have happened. So, he now said he saw Bishop come out as well. And Bishop now went and was now trying to explain something. You don't need to tell anybody, you know, that there was a misunderstanding. Maybe they didn't fight. Of course, they can't fight. But to say there will not be a conflict, something is wrong. One of the parties is sick. That the only way there will not be conflict is that if a partner is nursing the other one, to see kikale. That's the only time there will not be conflict. Conflict is normal and healthy. But crisis is what you should avoid. There will be conflict, there will be misunderstanding. There is nothing wrong in that. Now, when you do have conflict, look at me, everybody. Stop writing. When you have conflict, there are some conflict that the two of you cannot resolve. because you have taken position. You will need a third party. Both of you must agree on your third party before you get married. You must set clear boundaries around your conflict. When we do have quarrel or conflict, you must not be said all over. You must not go and begin to tell your friend. You set boundaries around it. You set rules around it. Then, if you must report me to this person. If you must report her, she will also tell you, report me. But it's always good for the two of you to agree on one person that both of you submit to. It's a vital rule to save your relationship. Never marry a man who submits to nobody, that fears nobody. And you tell him, I'm going to tell my pastor, you are in trouble. There must be something, when there are serious crises in marriage, one of the counsel is that report your husband to people that he submits to or respect their voice. If you are now going out with a man who respects nobody, who listens to nobody, you are in trouble. So, is it a good rule? It's a very good rule. Set rules. Okay, we are going to have four conflicts. When we have conflict, we must fight fairly. I always tell people, don't fight to finish. So you set rules around your conflict, then you agree on a third party. The next one, the next slide. Now, rule of what? Now, this one is a very simple rule. Why the two of you are in a courtship? It must be exclusive. Who knows? What's the meaning of exclusive? Exclusive. What's the meaning of exclusivity? No? Exclusivity. Exclusive. Just the two of us. Just the two of you. Just the two of you. Just the two of you. I know what I'm saying it. Some guys bring a lot of cord, they bring crowd into the relationship, into their courtship. In fact, before the fiancé gets to know some things, I'm already bored. So there is no exclusivity between the two of you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, if your eye be single. So your eye must be single. You must not be in courtship with two sisters or two brothers at the same time. You have not seen people serious courtship. They have said yes to this one. They have said yes to this one. And the two going on pari passu. I don't know how people do that. So it must be exclusive. The last one. the rule of a chaperone. Somebody say chaperone. Somebody say chaperone. Who is a chaperone? A chaperone is somebody who is playing your godfather or godmother. It's either from the one for conflict. This one is rule of spiritual oversight. Once you're in a relationship, the number one thing, one part of the rule you must set is who will supervise this, our courtship, at least to some level. Or a chaperone. A chaperone is somebody that's like a third party, so to say, but is offering a spiritual oversight. It can be a friend that the two of you mutually respect. Do you get me? Is the only crowd that you take in. Now, those people are very, very important because they play some vital role at times. Some, I advise people that you make your pastor, your chaperone, that will supervise that relationship at least at initial stage. Do you get me now? So until both of you now get to know, understand each other better, and you can handle things yourself. So you need to set all these rules. And as you do that, God will bless you in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. I hope I've not bored you. Okay, so as we close, let me take, we have even answered all the questions, but let me just, maybe contribution, you have something you want to add, something I've not spoken about. So I will leave microphone for us for the next 5 minutes. We should get out of here by six. So,
praise God. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate the pastor once again? Thank you so much for being a blessing to us. Amen. I remember back then in school when I was on red level, there's this sister like that. She's a lecturer. She wasn't married. So, and there's this another brother again. He was a lawyer. He wasn't married. So my roommate now called me, yeah, Pastor Yomi now. He called me, this life is not difficult, though. This sister is not married. This brother is not married. They should marry themselves now. What's the big deal about? But as I begin to get into, but we thought then we're not really, we thought it was that, you know, easy. But as we begin to get into the practice of life, we discover that things don't work like that. So our senior pastor told us, he said, many things are difficult in life than the ones that are easy. So we reprogram our life by the mysteries of the Word of God. We begin to reprogram our possibilities. Exactly, that's what the pastor just shared with us. I'd like us to go home and begin to reprogram our possibilities with the mysteries he just shared with us. There are many things in life that are difficult than the ones that are very easy. We reprogram our life.